This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Oh, my proverbial cup runneth over here this afternoon, Sue. I have amazing audio to share. Wait till you hear this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Board from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're going to ask yourself, what the hell are we doing in this country? I think a lot of people are asking that. What the hell are we doing? Congressman Bob Onder is with us this afternoon, newly elected to Congress from the St. Charles area. And his first joint session of Congress tonight with President Trump doing the speech. You'll hear it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Congressman, how are you on this Tuesday afternoon?
I am doing really well, Mark. Thanks for having me back.
What are your expectations? We've talked about this before. It's got to be pretty cool and overwhelming as a new member of Congress, but you're going to sit in that room. There's going to be some disruptions. But on your side, a lot of people really supporting what the president's doing right now and hoping for momentum. So what are your expectations heading into tonight?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, Mark. This will, of course, be my first State of the Union address, and I think we'll hear from President Trump a lot of touting of his accomplishments, promises made, promises kept, whether that be his work toward getting our fiscal house in order, renewing the Trump tax cuts, securing the border, restoring sane energy policy. You know, it's amazing. From the Biden peak of about 11,000 illegal border crossings a day, we're down about 97%. So already President Trump is fulfilling his agenda. And then we in Congress, of course, have our part of funding those important programs like the border wall, like immigration enforcement and more Border Patrol agents. And of course, he needs us to make permanent some of these policy changes that right now he's making by executive order.
Hey, Bob, you know how I and the audience know all that information about the border? Because CBS and CNN, ABC and the New York Times, they've been just blasting that all over the place, right? I mean, this is the same group of legacy media that didn't want to address the real issue at the border. And now that there's been success, and to your point, Congressman, the numbers are staggering. I mean, it's not even close,
yeah,
right?
It's just incredible. Remember when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were telling us that we couldn't enforce the border until we passed the Biden amnesty bill?
Oh, yeah.
That we had to allow basically what amounted to, I believe, 1 million illegal aliens a year before the president can close the border. The border crossings were going down after Trump was elected on November 5th, because illegal aliens knew that America was no longer going to be taken advantage of, that we were going to enforce immigration law, and that you could go through all the trouble of making your way through Central America, through Mexico, pay the coyotes and drug traffickers a whole bunch of money to bring you across the border, but you might be put on a plane and shipped back to your country of origin. So, no, it's incredible. I think Trump was able to secure the border even quicker than I would have imagined.
Congressman Bob Onner is with us. Let's talk about Zelensky and what happened last week. We can kind of bring it full circle to maybe a little kowtowing today. But what's interesting, Congressman, is I've been on the horn the last couple of days with, I guess you would call these maybe more establishment members of your body or former members of the body. And behind the scenes, there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable with what happened with Trump and Zelensky. And I guess my point has been, look, this war is not winnable, and I don't know what people expect to happen here, and I don't want to give everything to Putin, and I think there should be conditions on Putin, but there does seem to be an unwillingness on the part of a lot of people, even maybe on the right side of the spectrum, in understanding that there's not a win here for Ukraine if we don't stop the bloodshed and we don't stop the fighting, and that's seemingly the priority of President Trump right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Look, President Trump, I believe, has it exactly right. I believe the whole world cheered when Zelensky and the Ukrainians bravely fought back against the Russians 3 years ago. And, you know, I think a lot of us expected Ukraine to be overrun in 3 days or 3 weeks, but the Ukrainians fought back. But we have invested a lot of money, something like $350 billion in that conflict, but even worse, the Ukrainians, the Russians have lost so many young lives. I mean, the Ukrainians now are to the point that they are conscripting 40 and 50 year olds and sending them with minimal training right to the front. It is a bloodbath. It is unwinnable. It is unsustainable for us fiscally. And, you know, it's time for an end to this conflict. And I think President Trump is the one to broker a deal that will be fair, that I don't think either side will be happy with, but that it will at least stop the bloodshed.
And you hope that maybe there's going to be some progress on that. I mentioned there's a great column by this guy, Matt Taibbi. And Bob, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's kind of a reformed liberal. And he used to write for Rolling Stone. And he wrote a great column mm-hmm. about, you know, really giving some great history about the background of all this. But one of the things that stuck out in the end, he says, I generally have sympathy for people like Zelensky. The former Soviet Union is a place where success is mostly reserved for men of violence. And anyone outside that club who manages to rise usually needs a big bag of other extraordinary qualities. But this politician allowed his persona to become just another legend in line with U.S. foreign policy objectives, forgetting that voters decide what those objectives are, not contractors who don't answer the phone or Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of England, or any hundreds of other officials who think that they know what wars we in this country must support. And what Matt said to close it out, and I think this speaks for a lot of people who supported President Trump, he said, I'm tired of being lied to about why this mess can't get fixed and just want to move on. Is there really anyone left who doesn't feel the same way? And that's what I guess I would say about my friends on the left.
Yeah.
What's the path here? Where is the path to victory?
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't think there is. And I think Zelensky in his meeting with Trump just, you know, exuded arrogance. I think he's been on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine. He's been on the cover of People magazine. He thinks he can put on his sweatshirt and he has such star power. He could go around the president of the United States and we will make Trump give him unlimited amounts of money. But I think what the American people people have realized is that this is an unwinnable war. We've invested a third of $1 trillion at a time when we're going bankrupt ourselves, and that it's time for the war to end. And Zelensky apparently does not want it to end. So as Trump said, come back when you're ready for peace. You're not ready for peace. So I'm with President Trump on this one.
What about the tariffs, Congressman? Because I'm a little uncomfortable. Look, we're going to see what happens here. But if we get down the road a few weeks, a couple of months, and these prices start to spike even higher than they are, you have the Democrats using this as a weapon. And I understand it politically right now, saying, look, there were promises that were made, you know, for day one for prices to come down. Now you have the possibility where prices might go up dramatically because of some of these tariffs. Now, I understand there's negotiating that's going on here. But thoughts on that? Because I can't help but feel that some members of your district aren't going to be pleased with a lot of this if it heads in a direction where it's going to cost us a lot more money at the grocery store, et cetera.
Yeah. Look, I am not for tariffs for tariffs' sake. Tariffs are taxes. So if tariffs are used as a negotiating tactic to get cooperation in securing our southern or our northern border, Canada or Mexico, I think that's as a temporary measure, tariffs are fine. Likewise, if we are being taken advantage of, or our technology is being stolen, or there are national security issues at stake, as in the case of China, I think there is a role for tariffs. But to me, the sooner the tariffs can come to an end, the better.
Hey, listen, have fun tonight. I think it's going to be pretty awesome to be in that room.
I think it will. Yeah. I think it will.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bob. So I appreciate it. Take care. That's Congressman Bob Onder with us here this afternoon. Let me kind of go to the issue. I want to tie a couple things in here. You know who's trying to make a little bit of a comeback? Maybe not a comeback, but she's finally emerging after 3 or 4 months as KJP.
So, really?
Well, my guess is there's probably a book or something like that. But she gave some interviews last week, and she's not really backing down. You know, some of the quotes last week, and I think I played some of the audio, is that, you know, it was like a firing squad after that first debate. And she was criticizing a lot of the Democrats. But here she is on the clearly the most politically important show in America, The View, talking about Trump having a mandate or not.
We have to be super mindful and careful of this because he does not have a mandate. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the numbers, just look at the facts. He won with the smallest margin of the popular vote since the 19th century. He's on his way in the first 100 days to be the most unpopular president in their first 100 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is not a mandate. This is not normal.
No. And it's
this
a five alarm, normal. As you say.
It is a five right. alarm fire.
Well, first of all, it's not 100 days. And all the polling no. that I've seen at this point has been very positive. Could we potentially get to that point where the number that she's throwing out there is true? Maybe, but I certainly don't see that in the works right now. And the other thing about that is, let's think about the numbers of where they are, which is mostly positive, with the media working against Trump on pretty much every front.
Yes.
But what was interesting about that conversation on The View about the mandate is, you know, this guy, I've featured him, I can kind of put him into perspective here for people who don't know him. His name is Stephen A. Smith, and he's an ESPN guy. And Ethan, is it fair to say, like, maybe his wheelhouse is more the NBA? He's been on ESPN forever, right?
Yeah, NBA, NFL is definitely where his strengths.
But he's outspoken, and he's got energy, and, you know, you can agree with him or disagree with him, but he brings the fire. There's no doubt about that. He's on The View, and he's talking politics.
Only been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, mm-hmm. one of the smallest ever,
mm-hmm.
and he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this, really?
All right, so first of all, before I let him answer, he's got a great answer here, a great couple of answers. Isn't it awesome? And I really do want to know how this happens. Is it like a little postcard that gets sent out? Is it a text message with all the talking points? Or how does that get coordinated between all the members on Capitol Hill and then those members in the media, right? Fox is not included in the talking points, but everyone else is.
It is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of the truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. Mm-hmm. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in mm-hmm. that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate.
So he's basically saying, look, elections have consequences.
We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans hadn't won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004.
Yeah, that's right.
But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won a popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it, 89% of the counties shifted against. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
What's well, a different definition of a mandate, I guess.
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3% and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say, what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should continue to do that.
So
no,
that those,
don't continue
that,
to do that. Find a new strategy.
So you could hear Sonny Hostin in the background there. Could you pick up? And she goes, well, some people didn't pick up.
Yeah.
So that's their excuse. Well, we didn't drive enough people to the polls. Are you kidding me? This was nobody. There was nobody except for maybe TJ Moe on my show. And there were some people out there, certainly on our side of things. There were not a lot of people that were predicting a sweep. Let's face it.
Oh, for sure.
That was an amazing achievement, whether these vote totals were close or not. And they promised to get the work done on the part of the American people. And they're actually doing it right now. So it is interesting the way that he kind of slapped them down right there. Stephen A. Smith on The View. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with, you know, sometimes it's hard to pin down what diversity, equity, and inclusion is. Oh, I have a gem of an example from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.